Amen. Well, today we are looking at the book of all books. And hopefully the projector will keep going throughout the sermon. It keeps blinking on me, but it's going to last because we've got quite a few slides today because I want to try and do one or two things that might be slightly different to what you normally hear when it comes to the Bible. But books, books, and more books. Here's a famous word, bibliosmia, I think it is, for anyone who likes the smell of old books. That's the word that you would use. Now, some of you like Kindles, some of you have electronic versions and all kinds of things, but there's nothing better than going into an old bookshop, picking out a copy, and it has a particular odor to it and a particular tactile feel. Well, if you enjoy that, bibliosmia, I think, is the word to describe it. Here's some more useless information. Les Mis contains the longest sentence in any book. 823 words in one sentence. So if you like your meaty books, go and read Victor Hugo's Les Mis. Here's another bit of useless information. The Adventures of Tom Sawyer was the very first novel typed. Up to then, all novels were handwritten. But it's believed that Mark Twain was the very first person who submitted his manuscript to the printers already typed. So there you go. It's an education coming here this morning, isn't it? Oh, Gadsby. Ernest Vincent Wright wrote a 50,000-word novel without using the letter E. I couldn't make a sentence. I can do one sentence without the letter E. He wrote a 50,000-word novel called Gatsby without using the letter E. I mean, it might be a load of rubbish. I don't know, but useless information. Oh, and Green Eggs and Ham. Dr. Zoot wrote his famous book as a result of a bet. Somebody bet him $50 that he couldn't write a book using only 50 words. So he did, and he produced Green Eggs and Ham. So that's a little trivia about books, okay, because we are looking at the book of all books, the Holy Bible. The best-selling book in history, the most widely distributed book of all time, and the most translated book in the world. You can get the complete Bible in over 532 languages. 532 languages. Contrast that, Shakespeare, the great Bard of Avon, England's greatest playwright, known all around the world, but you can only get the works of Shakespeare in about 80 languages, 80. Whereas you get the whole Bible in at least 532 languages, and then you get the New Testament and parts of the Bible in 2,883 different languages, and they're still producing it week by week. It is an incredible book for its sales, for its distribution around the world, and the fact it speaks into different cultures. So there are Inuits in the snow, in their igloo, reading a copy. Well, they're in houses today, most of them, aren't they? They could read a copy of the Inuit Bible in their own language. And then you go to the great cities of the world, New York, Paris, London, Peckham, you know, wherever you go in the world. And people are reading it in their own language. You go to South America, you go to Africa, people have the Word of God. Go to India. It's an incredible book that speaks in to people's culture. Now, we're starting this series called the Bible Series. And we're using some of the resources produced by the Bible Society. We're not going to do it exactly as they do it. We're going to adapt it for our situation. And our study today is introducing the Bible. What is the Bible? And I want to start by asking some questions. Here's the first one. Are there different Bibles? I get asked this all the time. Are there different Bibles? And it may surprise you to know there are. So let's have a look at some of them. For example, this is called the Tanakh. Sorry about the poor quality picture. It's simply the Old Testament part of our Bible. This is what's called the Jewish Bible. If you were Jewish, if you were in a synagogue or you meet a Jew and you talk about the Bible, all a Jew will think about is the Old Testament part of the Bible. 39 books. They will not have a New Testament, and they don't know what an Old Testament is because you don't have an Old Testament unless you've got a New Testament to go with it. So they will talk about their Tanakh, which is our Old Testament, but it hasn't got the New Testament connected. Now, it is the same as our Old Testament, but different. And it is different, but the same. Let me explain. Who can tell me, what's the last book of your Old Testament? Anyone know? Malachi. But if you pick up a Tanakh, Malachi is not the last book. Chronicles is. Because they have a different grouping, a different order that we don't have. Jesus, on one occasion, in Matthew 23:35, said these words, and they don't make sense to us. He said this, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah. Now, we all know who Abel is. He's at the beginning of Genesis. But who in the world is Zechariah, son of Berechiah? He's the last righteous man mentioned in Chronicles. So Jesus is doing a broad sweep of Jewish history. He's saying from the first good man to the last good man. It's the equivalent of saying from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega. But that one verse to Western people doesn't make sense. Because Zechariah, son of Berechiah, is not the last one mentioned in our Old Testament. We have rearranged the order. So all the books are there, but the order is different. So that's a bit of trivia, I guess. Oh, and there's one more difference. How many books are there in your Old Testament? 39. How many books are there in a Jewish Old Testament? 24. Hold on, you just said it's the same. Well, it is. Book for book. Letter for letter. Well, how come they've got 24 books and we've got 39? Again, it's just how you divide it up. We have two books called 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel. They just have one book, 1 Samuel, two books combined. One book called Chronicles, 1 and 2 combined. One book called Kings, 1 and... So they just group their books differently. But a Jewish Bible is exactly the same as your Old Testament, with a little bit of difference here and there. But you can be sure that every word in your Old Testament is in a Jewish Tanakh. Okay, so that's slightly different, the Jewish Bible. Here's a Bible that's different. The New World Translation of Jehovah's Witnesses. When you get that knock on the door, or when you go down to Locks Heath Centre, sometimes they're on the edge of the car park with their stand, Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christians. They are a cult, a sect. They deny fundamental truths of Christianity. But they have produced their own Bible. It's called the New World Translation. They will tell you it is the same as your Bible, but it's not. Let me show you two examples. In Colossians 1, verse 16 to 18, they have added four times the word other. It's not in the Greek text. It's not in any of the Bible. But they have deliberately added it because it changes the meaning. Instead of saying Jesus created everything, it now talks about another creature who's created things. Just by adding that one word. Four times in verse 16 to 18. And again, they add it in verse 20. They have added to the text. And then there are times they have changed the text. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Not according to Jehovah's Witness. They have deliberately changed it to a God and God with a small g. They believe in a second, lesser God. No biblical scholar, Christian or secular, agrees with them. This is entirely their own doing. And when they've been called to defend it in court, they can't. They can't produce the scholars. They can't defend it. So if you come across a green-covered Bible, bin it. Bin it. It is a corrupt Bible by the Jehovah's Witnesses who have added and taken away from the Scriptures. Are all Bibles different? Well, most of them, but there's one or two odd ones. Here's another one that's different. This Bible here has a section called Apocrypha. Apocrypha. If you go over to the Roman Catholic Church, you will find in their Bibles an extra seven books called the Apocrypha. Now, the Old Testament and the New Testament is exactly the same as ours, any Protestant Bible. But they have a middle section called the Apocrypha. We reject it for a number of reasons. One, it came in during the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There was a gap of 400 years where God never spoke. And lots of writings were written by different people, and they were gathered up, and seven of those books were kept and called the Apocrypha. But they themselves don't claim to be the Bible. For example, let me find the reference. Oh, 1 Maccabees 4:46 says, there is no prophet at this time. So if you haven't got a prophet, you can't hear from God. So they even testify there's no prophet. And when you come to the Old Testament and the New Testament, again and again, you read expressions like this. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. Or, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. So in your Old Testament and your New Testament, people claim to be writing what God told them to write. In the Apocrypha, they don't. And at the time of Jesus, and at the time of the apostles, they never referred to the Apocrypha as sacred scripture. Jewish rabbis and Jewish tradition rejected it as deuterocanonical. They may be interesting from a historical point of view, but they're not part of the Bible. Now you might say, well, why do the Roman Catholics have it? Well, you'll have to go and ask them. They have it as an extra section because it's informative, but it's not inspired. So we've dropped it, or we don't have it in our Bible. So are all Bibles the same? Well, yes, but some are slightly different. All Bibles, and I emphasize this because today people will say to me when I go to Speaker's Corner, you've changed the Bible. Or they'll say, which Bible do you have? Do you have the 66 books of the Bible, or do you have the 72 books of the Bible? Your Bible's corrupt. No, it's not. There's an extra section called the Apocrypha in the Catholic Bible, and we reject it because the early Jewish rabbis rejected it, and it never claims to be inspired. That's why those seven books are missing. So it's good to know that. And if you ever meet a Muslim or someone who questions you on this, you just say, hold on, all Bibles contain the Torah and the four Gospels. Every Bible in the world contains the Torah, the law, and the Gospels. So let's start at the Gospels. Because whatever Bible you pick up contains the Gospels. Are all Bibles the same? Well, yeah, apart from this one. And I put this up because this comes up on Facebook all the time. I get this once a week or once a fortnight. An atheist website will put this on and say, oh, Christians don't use the real Bible. The real Bible is this old Ethiopian Bible, and they've got 88 books in theirs, and you've only got 66 in yours. So therefore, Christians are wrong. No, we're not. The reason the Ethiopian Bible has 88 books is what we call their understanding of the canon. The word canon is a Greek word, and it just means rule of measure, standard. What is the standard of bringing books together? And the Ethiopians have a different standard to the rest of the world. They took church fathers and other writings, and they gathered it all with the Bible and included it all in one book. We don't. We say writings of the early church fathers or additional writings may be helpful, but they're not part of the Bible. So we don't include them. So our canon is 66 books. The Ethiopians just have extra books that were around at their time, and they've included them. And if anyone ever says to you they've got 88 books, say, well, can you name them? And they won't have a clue because they've just taken a fact stat off a website. So are all Bibles the same? Well, in one sense, yes. Never be put off by translations. The King James Bible, the NIV, the ESV, they're just translations because language changes. But there are one or two Bibles you have to be aware of that are physically different because they're gathered together differently or they have additional books. Now, I've said that just to kind of help you if you do apologetics. If you talk to someone, and especially a Muslim, who will say, which Bible do you use? And like I say, they think the different translations, the King James, the NIV, the ESV, are different Bibles. No, they're not. And just like we have different translations of the Bible, Muslims have different translations of their Quran in English. It's exactly the same principle. You take a word and you translate it into a different language, and you can translate that word in one of five different ways, because language is flexible to get the meaning. So there's only one true Bible, really. 66 books that Protestants, Catholics all agree on. And that's the main Bible that's been around for thousands of years. And that's the one we study and we'll be looking at. Now, if that was heavy, have a little break. Have a look at this.
Oh, one. The Bible wasn't originally divided into chapters and verses. The original scriptures had no chapter or verse numbers. The chapter divisions were added in the 13th century, and verse numbers came in the 16th century. Two. In English, KJV, John 11, verse 35 is the shortest verse. Jesus wept. However, in the original Greek, the shortest verse is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. The Bible was written in three languages. Three. The Old Testament was mostly in Hebrew, with some parts in Aramaic. The New Testament was written in Greek. There are more than 100 translations of the Bible in English. Four. From King James Version, KJV, to New International Version, NIV, there are over 100 different English translations. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. Five. It has 176 verses and is a poetic tribute to God's Word. The first printed book in history was the Bible. Six. The Gutenberg Bible, printed in 1455, was the first major book printed using movable type. The Bible has over 40 human authors. Seven. The Bible was written by kings, prophets, fishermen, doctors, and shepherds over a span of 1,500 years. The name God never appears in the book of Esther. 8. Even though God's presence is strongly felt, his name is never mentioned in the book of Esther. Jesus had siblings. 9. According to Mark 6, verse 3, Jesus had brothers and sisters, including James, Joseph, Hoses, Judas, Jude, and Simon. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. 10. Over 5 billion copies have been sold, making it the most printed, distributed, and influential book in history.
Thank you. Bit of trivia. There's nothing like the Bible, written over a span of 1,500 years by 40 different authors in three languages. You'd expect it to be a hodgepodge of ideas and contradictions, and yet it's not. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. It fits together, and it portrays one story about God, who he is, what went wrong in the world, sin came into the world and spoilt that relationship. God's solution is Jesus, not an afterthought. The Bible says from before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Jesus would come, die, rise again, ascend back to heaven, and one day come back to fully redeem planet Earth. It's one story, and those authors didn't know what they were writing half the time, but their writings fit in and complement the other people. Now, from our passage, let's note five things from the passage. Number one, we're told that the scriptures are holy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, and from infancy, since you were a boy, Timothy, since you were a nipper, a little child, you have known the holy scriptures. You have known the holy scriptures. If you go back, if you've got your Bibles open, to chapter 1, verse 5, we're told how Timothy, as a child, would sit on his grandma's knee, and his mum and his grandma Lois would teach him the Bible stories. So he was raised with part of his family knowing Jesus. We're not told about his dad, but we're told about his mum and his grandma. But they only had the Old Testament, the Tanakh. But the Apostle Paul says they are holy scriptures, and you learnt about God through them. Did you know something happened in the early church that doesn't happen today? Something happened in the book of Acts that never happens today. I'll tell you what it is. They preached Jesus only from the Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written. So they couldn't preach it from the New Testament. It hadn't been written. So they had to go to the Tanakh and they preached Jesus from their Tanakh. I wonder if we could do that today. Now, the word for holy means consecrated or set apart. Consecrated or set apart. There are billions of books in the world, but Christians believe the Bible is separate. It's far above every other book. Holy, set apart, pure. And we'll look at that later. Secondly, not only are they holy scriptures, they are scriptures that lead us to salvation. Look again at verse 15. How from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Now, this might shock you. You're not saved by reading the Bible. You are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the message of the Bible, and it is our faith in Christ that saves us, not the Bible itself. If you read a recipe book, that doesn't cook the meal for you. You've still got to put that information into practice to have a meal. If your car's broken down, just reading a book on mechanics will not sort your car out. You still have to put that knowledge into practice. So we're not just saved by information. We're saved by faith in a person, a living person, Jesus Christ. Remember in the book of Acts, Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2. He preached the very first Christian sermon. 3,000 people became followers of Jesus and there was no New Testament. Because he preached Christ. And faith in Christ. Now, the message of the Bible complements that and informs us, but Bible knowledge alone never saved anyone. You remember Jesus said to his enemies in John's Gospel, he said, "You search the Scriptures, but you don't know the one of whom they speak. You've memorized some of the Scriptures, but you don't know who they speak of." They speak of him, John 5 and verse 39. So just knowing the Bible, well, that's good, it's the start, but it doesn't save you. You have to apply that knowledge to be saved. And when you do, they point us to Christ and they lead us to salvation. Here's the third thing Paul tells us. The scriptures are true and dependable. True and dependable. Verse 16. At the time of Timothy, there were false teachers. Those who were trying to influence the early church. They're called Gnostics. A Gnostic is someone who claims to have a special knowledge. An agnostic is someone who says, "I don't know if there's a God or not." A Gnostic says, "Oh, I believe, and I've got extra knowledge you haven't got." You often meet these people on YouTube. They say, "What you've got as a Christian isn't good enough. You need to come to my church. You need to come to my place, and I'll give you an extra knowledge. I'll take you to the next level. You've just got average Christianity, but I've got a special one." Don't believe them. You have everything you need in the Word of God. Okay? Throughout history, there have been Gnostics, those who come and say, "What you've got isn't good enough." Joseph Smith came along and said, "What you've got as Christians isn't good enough. You need the Book of Mormon. If you have the Book of Mormon, you can understand the Bible correctly." No, 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 Joseph. In fact, the Bible says, even if an angel itself comes down and says, "Here's some extra knowledge," reject it. Sadly, Joseph Smith didn't. Mary Baker Eddy did the same. Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Scientist, which is neither Christian nor scientist, claims to have special writings. Ignore her. Charles Taze Russell of the Watchtower, Jehovah's Witnesses. You can't understand the Bible without us interpreting it. No, no, no. It's not what the Bible says. Ellen White, Seventh-day Adventist, special revelations. No, 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 Ellen. Even Muhammad, with his extra Quran to complete the Bible. No, no, no. The Bible is complete, true, and dependable in itself. All other Gnostic, all other writings, reject. Reject. They are man-made experiences and books. God's word is holy. It's set apart. It's complete. And it is true and dependable. And look what he says. All scripture is God-breathed. Some translations say inspired. doesn't mean that the writers sat there like robots. No. They're not spiritualists. It's God-breathed. It means God used their personality, their experience, their culture to record what they believe was a message from God. And the idea is a sailing ship. If you see a sailing ship on the water, the wind fills the sail and it guides it along in the right direction. And God's Spirit fell upon these 40 plus writers and guided them along in what they needed to say. That's inspiration, God breathing. Not robots, not sending a book down from heaven, using ordinary people in their ordinary setting to write an extraordinary message. Inspired, God breathed. Two more. The scriptures are profitable. Again, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. Now note this, four things. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Do you know why we read the Bible every Sunday? For those four things. Teaching. It tells you what is right about God and about life. Secondly, rebuking. It shows you what is wrong not to believe, not to practice, not to do. Correcting. It shows you how to get right. If you've been living this way, it shows you how to live that way. It corrects our faults and our failings. And then fourthly, instruction in righteousness. It tells you how to stay right so you don't make the same mistakes again and again and again. So the reason God's given us his word, four things. For doctrine, what is right. Reproof, what is not right. Correction, how to stay right. And righteousness, how to get right. Righteousness, how to stay right. And then last but not least, the scriptures equip us for service so that the man or the woman of God may be not just equipped, did you see what it says? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. This week, when you go out into the world, God will equip you for that task, according to this verse. So we don't just study the Bible to benefit ourselves and grow a big head. Look what I know about the Bible. No, we read the Bible so that we can go out and make a difference to those we encounter. The end result is love for other people. And the word translated equipped is a specialist word. At the time of Jesus and Paul, it was used for a doctor who might set a broken arm. The arm is broken, but he sets it so that it's straight. It's used for a fisherman who looks at his nets that are full of holes and he fixes them so that he's equipped to go and catch fish. It's used of a sailor who can look and outfit his ship ready for a voyage. And it's used of soldiers before they go into battle, helmet, shoes, breastplate, shield, sword, I'm equipped for battle. And God says for the Christian, he's given you his word to equip you for what he's called you to do. Let me finish by telling you a story about Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith was a Christian down in Cornwall, a former tin miner who became a Christian. And he met a man once. He said, Gypsy, he said, you're always going about the Bible. He said, I've read the Bible. He said, I've been through the Bible and it hasn't changed me at all. And Gypsy Smith said this, if you let the Bible go through you, you'll be a completely different person. I've been through the Bible. That's information. I've read it. But if you let the Bible go through you, if you apply it, you'll be a totally different person. And that's the difference, isn't it? God gives us his word that it might change us and equip us for service in this life and so that we might know him better. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you that you haven't just given us information. And you don't just tell us what to do, but you give us a book that can transform us and make such a difference in our lives. So help us to take these things on board. Help us to digest what we've heard, to think it through. And we pray it'll be a blessing to us. Amen.